We go to Kapitel Chof Tet. Kapitel Chof Tet is the Mechaber of Kleinim is Bar Yehuda on the Xeris of Tatnu. Tatnu is the Crusade 1096. Because of save time, we skip the whole shinnet that we talk about the Xeris that happened in Germany, which is Speyer, Mainz, and Worms, Vermeise, the very, very special kinois that we always have an opportunity to talk about. But therefore, here in Kapitel Chof Tet is still a touch of something about the tragedies that took place during the Crusades, where the Crusades' cheshbon originally was to liberate Palestine from the Muslims to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hitchila, when they started the cheshbon, was not to destroy Jews. But then you had if you were rowdy among them in Sinai Yisrael, they decided while we're in the process, before even we reach Eretz Yisrael, there's an opportunity we should destroy Jews as well. And that is which caused all the tremendous sorrows, of course, which happened. And this is the piyut that we point out many times, Omarti She'u Mini Bechi Amore. In other words, the Kloinim is Bar Yehuda saying, Omarti She'u Mini. It means, leave me alone. Then Chi Amore, I want to cry bitterly in my tears, in my crying. Person, many times, the first impulse is when you see somebody crying, you want to calm them down. There comes a time where the pain is so great where you say, just leave me alone. Allow me to cry. She'umini. Move away from me. Leave me alone. Then Chi Amore, allow my bitterness to be soaked up with my crying. Mar nafshi veruche akare. He says, because if you allow me to cry, that itself might lessen a little bit. The person just feels just a little bit better if you allow him to cry to cool off his spirits. And then he says, Im Livyosin hu asidim le'oirer. I will cry, he says, with Livyosin means Lashon Levoya, in connection with other people who are crying along with me. I'm not crying alone. Unfortunately, there are many, many people crying with me. Allow me to cry, allow us to cry, to be able to release the tension and somehow to neutralize a little bit of the pain. We pointed out that time to time, not this year, we didn't, but that the kinois also take various positions of Lozer HaKalir, of course, again, especially if he was a Tana, but if he was not a Tana, recognized as one of the greatest. And the Mela, therefore, there are many different halachic positions where we find Machlekesen and Rishonim and so on and so forth, where situations can be found, at least where Lozer HaKalir takes a personal position regarding particular halachis. B'toich HaKinois, he voices as a position which is reflected. And here, based upon this kina, the Meramah Rottenberg himself, who is one of the greatest Rishonim of all time, the Meramah Rottenberg, who is the Rebbe of the Rosh, the Mashal writes, he was the greatest of all Chachmei Ashkenaz, which means that all over Europe and beyond were subservient to the Psak Halacha. He was like the last word in Halacha. Rabbeinu Meir, the Meramah Rottenberg, and it's pointed out that he lived in Germany. He was the Rebbe of the Rosh. And from the Talmud, of course, one can have a little bit of an inkling of who the Rebbe is as well. You have a Talmud like the Rosh. And the Rosh is very, very loyal to his Rebbe, the Meramah Rottenberg. And the Meramah Rottenberg writes Legabi in a tshuva, which is printed in the tshuva's Maharam Rottenberg, regarding a shaila that was asked of him. And he says that you can find an answer to your question, he says, from this piyut here, Kapitel Chof Tet, or Marti Shehumeni. And that is, Imram Rottenberg, as you know, had a very tragic life. On the one hand, as you see, he was the Rabban Shel Yisrael, literally, B'loi Muvin Hamila. Also, the Chidor writes that the Tosfos on Yuma is Imram Rottenberg. If you learn the Tosfos Yuma and you study some of the Tosfos, you'll see the Lashon, the writing of the Tosfos, is not the same Lashon Kodesh. It's not written the same way as other Tosfos are written. And the Chidot tells us that this is the Meramah Rottenberg. So he's the Bala Tosfos, at least on the Tosfos Yuma, and there's other places as well. And because of the situation in Germany deteriorated from day to day, and every day there was harsh decrees, Nay Gzeiris, New Gzeiris, and the massacres, the Meramah being decided to leave the country and therefore decided to take refuge in another land. So he already managed to go to Lombardy. He managed to arrive with his family in Lombardy, and he was recognized by a Mishumet, who informed the bishop. The name of the bishop's name was Basil, about the passing through of the Maran Rottenberg, his identity. He notified the local lord, arrested him. It was in the year 1286. The year 1286, the Maran Rottenberg was arrested and he turned over to an emperor. The emperor's name was Rudolf, and subsequently he was imprisoned in order to be able to extort a lot of money from the Jewish community. Jewish community, if any of the leaders like that, you know, money was never stood in the way, no matter what it was. And the kiddua that he did not allow, it was considered to be 30,000 marks were raised, by the way. They already raised 30,000 marks, was raised, which meant that they would have been able to redeem him. The Maram refused. This is the way the Maisa goes. The Maram refused to allow the money to be used to raise him, based upon the Mishnah Gittin, that Ein Poidin et Ashvuyim B'Yoyser Mekidmei Demeyim, that we don't want to encourage extortion. If governments will know that they can raise money by kidnapping Jewish leaders, then it's going to happen every day. Today it's one leader, then it's going to be another leader. So the Maram did not allow himself to be redeemed. The Rosh, by the way, was one of those who were raising the money. The Rosh was one of those. He was a good fundraiser, the Rosh. So he had to raise the money, and he refused. He refused to take it, but not permitted to be paid. So Mele, he was in prison for 7 years. During 7 years, he learned Torah, and he taught Torah, and continued to write Shuvahs for all types of questions. The Tashbitz, Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Tzadik. Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Tzadik was the Talmud of the Maram. He received permission from authorities to visit his Rebbe from time to time. And being that he received permission, he recorded the various Piskei Dinim, the various Piskei Halacha, his personal encounters that he had with Maram of Rottenberg, and he had it written down. And that became later known as the Tashbitz, which, by the way, is many times confused with another work of someone else by the same name, Rabbeinu Shimon bar Tzemach. But the Tashbitz Arishon is the Tashbitz Hasheni. Tashbitz Arishon we're talking about, it was the Talmud of the Maram of Rottenberg. Also, he kept correspondence with many of his Talmidim, who had not gained permission to be able to see him. Finally, 7 years in prison, so the Maram, in fact, the Maram, he dies in prison, and the government now feels, now we have them. They did not release the body for burial until they pay an exorbitant amount of money to extort ransom. He would not free the body, and the body remained in prison for 14 years. 14 years, the Maram's body remained until it was the year 1307. Ram was nifter, you know, the end of the 1200s. And in the year 1307, 14 years later, after his petir, a yid by the name of Alexander ben Shlomo Wimpin, he was a yid from Frankfurt. He spent most of his wealth, he gave up, in order to be able to bring the Maram's remains to Jewish burial. And he asked only one thing, and that was that he should have this chus, that after his 120 years are up, he should be able to be buried right next to the Maram. In Kach Havah, to this day, I think I mentioned it already, and if you go to the old cemetery in Worms, one of the most highly, most choshev preserved kivarim that you'll find to this day, in Vermeise is the cave of the Maram Rottenberg, Matzeva there, and right next to him is the Matzeva of this year of Alexander. And the tremendous chus is that, you know, of the hundreds of Yidden who come and visit the cave of the Maram, as a result, they're saying the capital Tilmud, they're saying it right next to that Yid also. So invariably, he has many, many visitors just the same as well. And that wish was granted. The Marshal writes on the Maram Rottenberg that he was modest and he was pure. He says, Onod v'tohor, he says, and there were nobody in other generations that could compare to him. The Marshal writes this. The Gadol HaDor in his own right, writes about the Gavlos of the Maharam. I just want to mention, but this is what I'm pointing out to over here, that in the third volume of the Tshuva of the Maram Rottenberg, the Tfus Prag, because there's different editions, in the Tfus Prag, and Simon Tovkov Yudayim, is brought down like this, Omar Maharam, Echot Shigoma Bedatoi, a Yid who made up his mind, Limsoir is Nafshoi Al Kiddush Hashem. A Yid who saw the matzav, he saw the score. He was ready to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem. So first of all, Maram Rottenberg writes, Mikam Veilach, this is a Moirige thing. Mikam Veilach, once you make up your mind to die Al Kiddush Hashem, write the Maram, Kol Misa She'oisim Loi Einoi Margish Klau. You know what Maram Rottenberg says? A Yid who dies on Kiddush Hashem does not feel the pain. I'm Rothberg. Kol Misa She'oisim Loi Einoi Margish. And he brings a raya from a Mesoira. It says the word Hikuni twice, two different places. Hikuni Bal Chilisi, Hikuni Pitzauni. He says, Hikuni Pitzauni. He says, you hit me, you tried to wound me. But he says, Hikuni bal chileisi, he says. But nevertheless, I did not get ill from it. And he says, Veteda. And he brings a raya. Ram Rottenberg saying this. A raya says, Shikahu, she'ein loch odem bi'olam. Because just try it out on yourself. If even a little finger of yours managed by accident to touch hot fire, you cannot go back from screaming. You have to scream. A little aver. She'ein loch odem shimhoye negeya be'esh be'aver kotnish lohoye tzoyek. Even if you try la'akei v'atzimoy, ein yocho, you can't hold back from screaming. And see, these kedoshim, they were not tzayakim. They said Shema Yisrael, that was it. The Ram says, it's a special shmira that they get min ha-shemayim, not to be margish their pain. And then, interestingly, subsequently, there were those that brought a raya from a medrash. With the raya from medrash, Kal Yisrael is compared to a yoina. Kal Yisrael is compared to a yoina. So says the Gemara in Gittin. Kal Yisrael matila le yoina. Right? Rayosi, yoinosi, tamosi. Kal Yisrael is a yoina. In which way are they compared to a yoina? So Rashi has one shot. What does the Medrash say? Lama nimshal Yisrael a yoina. Ma yoina einam mefarcheses b'shchita. Yoina is unique from all other species. When you shecht it, tzvartzich. Huh? It shakes tremendously. It doesn't want to allow it. But the yoina, you shecht it, it goes calm to the shchita. Kach Yisrael eina mefarchesim b'shchita al kiddush Hashem. But the interpretation that one would like to read into that is possibly maybe the remez with the Maram is saying, they're not mefarches b'shchita because they are not margi. Shemayim takes away the tzar, the pain, once the person's machlev to our kiddushim shemayim. Anyway, the time is gone, so let's just do the kinnah.